Lord prepared a sanctuary.
A sanctuary.
Pure and holy. Tried and true. Tried and true. Sweet and good. I'll be a living sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me.
A sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
Tried and true.
Sweet and good. I'll be a living
sanctuary. Lord, anoint me.
Lord, anoint me
to be a
sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
With thanksgiving.
I'll be
a leader.
Sanctuary, holy.
Lord, anoint me.
Lord, anoint me to be a sanctuary.
Pure and holy.
Pure and holy.
Tried and true.
I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lord, you will do something in my life this time around. In this move that is coming, I won't be left out. It is your time, it is your moment.
Clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You are my shield, you are my covering, you are my stability, my foundation. You are my shield, you are my covering, you are my stability, my foundation. Rock of ages, let for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, I need you more than yesterday. Let for me, let me hide myself in thee. You are my shield, you are my covering, you are my stability, my foundation. You are my shield, you are my covering, you are my stability, my foundation. Take me to the place you hold, the secret place. That's where I wanna be. Take me to the place.
Don't be distracted at this time.
The place you are.
Ina magalaya galabaya na na.
The secret place. That's where I wanna be. Take me, Lord. Take me
to the place you are.
Jesus.
The secret place,
that's where I wanna be. Take me to the place, oh, the place you are. La, 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 la. The secret place, that's where I wanna be.
Take me, Lord,
take my hand.
Take my hand.
I give you my hand.
Lead me to the rock.
Lead me to the rock. That is higher than I. Take my hand. Oh, yo, yo, yo. Without you, I need you, I need you. Lead me to the rock. Ooh, that is higher than I. Take my hand.
Take my hand.
Lead me to the rock. Take my hand.
Take my hand.
Take me.
Take my hand. Lead me to the road.
That is I. Take me to the place. The place you are.
Oh Lord,
the secret place.
That's where I wanna be. Take me, Lord.
Take me
to the place.
The place you hold. The secret place. That's where I wanna be. Take me
to the place
you are. The secret place. That's where I wanna be.
take me,
take me to the blue.
This is you, the secret place. That's where I wanna be. Oh, take me to
the blue.
The place you are, the secret place, that's where I wanna be. Take me to the place you are, the secret place, that's where I wanna be. Take me to the place you are, the secret place, that's where I wanna be, that's where I wanna be.
For life,
to serve you for life.
Breathe on me, Lord.
Breathe on me,
breathe on me, Lord.
Oh Lord.
Ilagabagalagayagalabadabada.
Breathe on me.
I have made up my mind.
I have made up my mind. To serve you for life.
Breathe
on me.
I have made up my mind.
I have
I am made of my mind
to serve you for life. Breathe on me, oh Lord. Breathe on me.
I have made up my mind. I have made up my mind
to serve you for life. Breathe on me, oh
I have made up my mind. I have made up my mind.
To serve you for life. Breathe on me, oh Lord. Breathe on me.
I have made up my mind.
I have made up my mind to serve you for life. Breathe on me, oh Lord. Breathe on me.
I have made up my mind. I have made up my mind.
To serve you for life. Breathe on me, oh Lord. Breathe on me.
Go ahead and speak to God. I made up my mind. I made up my mind. Made up my mind. Shut the door. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands if you can. Almighty God, Almighty God, We give you the praise. We give you the honor. I tell you, the power of God is already here. The Spirit of God is already at work in your life. While the word is on, be very sensitive. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still, above the storms of passion and the murmurs of self-will. Speak to reassure me. Stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Oh, speak. Speaking in a sense clear
and still,
above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure to hasten our control. Oh, speak and make me live.
thou guardest.
For,
Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant.
And Jesus,
I have promised to serve thee
to the earth.
Oh, give me grace.
To follow my master.
Stanza 5. Let me see
thy footmarks, and in them plant my hope to follow duly, peace in thy strength.
Oh, guide me. Uphold me to the end.
And then in heaven,
receive
me, my Savior and my friend.
Without the instruments, stanza 3.
We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Be thou glorified. In Jesus' name. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord.
From the way the service is going, I perceive that we are not going to have a separate second session or third session to just merge together, and then we'll go and break once and for all, and then return back for the evening session. And so I'd like you to open back your Bible to the book of Joel. We appreciate the presence of everyone coming again. Like I said, we'll give an appropriate introduction at the right time. Joel chapter 2. John the Beloved said, "I was in the Spirit on the last day." So please, I'd like you to be in the spirit. Don't let anybody or anything distract you. I will start from verse 13, 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Talking to Israel concerning the desolation in the land. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Now, verse 15 concerns us. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. I'd like you to note all the various categories of people there is referring to. Elders. Gather children. And those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth, that is a man who newly married, go forth of his chamber, and the bride, the one that was just married, go out of her closet. And then number 17, the weight of responsibility of the priest. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. It is after here that we have verse 23, where we read just now. Be glad, and then the Lord will send the former and the latter rain. It's after this process that the rain falls. And so, I want to talk about the responsibility of the priest for the latter rain, for the former and the latter rain. The responsibility of the priest. I'm going to speak about another dimension of this in the evening. Let the priests, the ministers, weep. I like to say that the tears of the priest is what supplies the moisture for the rain. The tears of the priest supplies the moisture for the rain. In verse 23, he said the rain will fall. But in verse 23, the rain that will fall in verse 23 must be wept out in verse 17. It takes the tears of the priests to supply the moisture for the rain. What that means is, a land can be dry when the eyes of the priest are dry. A land can be dry when the eyes of the ministers are dry. When the heart of the ministers are dry, their eyes will be dry. And they will minister to dry people in a dry land. The meaning of that to you is, the ministers of God set the pace for the move of God. The ministers of God set the pace for the move of God. For the deliverance of Israel, the greatest problem of God was not Pharaoh. For the deliverance of Israel, the greatest problem of God was not the Red Sea. The greatest problem of God was securing the attention of Moses. The destiny of every generation is tied to the quality of that generation's ministers. Let me say that again. The destiny of every generation is tied to the quality of that generation's ministers. The destiny of every ministry is tied to the quality of the minister in charge. Can I say this to you? The worst thing that can happen to any generation is to be under the leadership of ministers that are satisfied. I'll say that again. The worst thing that can happen to any church is to be pastored by a pastor that is not hungry for God. The worst thing that can happen to any generation is to be under the oversight of men of God that are satisfied with the state of themselves and the state of their generation. God is saying to Israel, if there must be change in this land, let the ministers weep. It started with the ministers. Let the ministers weep. Before the people can weep, let the ministers weep. Ministers of God, this afternoon, I am not going to talk so much in this session. God is making one demand of you. That is the demand of settle down, laying hold on God, making demand on Him for a change. Let the ministers weep. You remember 2 Kings chapter 6, when there was such a famine in Israel, people were eating children. A woman cried to the king. And the king said, where can I help you from? If the Lord does not help you, where will I bring you help from? And then the king went for Elisha. Open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We shall be reading. Let's start from verse 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cob of a dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn flow, out of the winepress. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard these words of the woman that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. In other words, I am going to take up the head of the prophet. The question I'm going to ask you is, was Elisha a food seller? Was he the minister of agriculture? Was he an industrialist? Why should the king go and take off his head? Why should the king go and take off his head? We are two women agreed to boil their children, and I'd like you to understand the terrible nature of the scarcity in that land. That a woman should carry the child she carried in her womb for 9 months, slaughtered the child and ate her hand by hand and leg by leg. And here now, instead of what are we going to do? Where will we get food? He said, God do so. In other words, if I don't cut off Elijah's head, may God cut off my own head. What was Elisha's hand in the matter? I want somebody to answer me. The question is, why should there be a prophet in the land and Satan is reigning in the land? The summary of it is, the prophet is to be held responsible for the calamity of the land. The matter is, the prophet is to be held responsible for the satanic adversities in the land. It is not the wickedness of the devil that is the reason for the problems in the land. It is the weakness of the prophets that are responsible for the calamities in the land. Hear me, every pastor seated here. Every evil going on in the territory where you pastor, one day you will be held accountable for what you did about it. Every ritual murder going on around the territory where you are located, and every demonic agenda and activity going on there, one day heaven will ask you that you were the prophet on ground. What did you do? So the prosperity of the land is connected to the prophetic mantle. And the adversity of the land is because of the failure of the prophet's mantle. Okay, see what happened. When the king sent for Elisha, and the king sent for Elisha, and somebody told Elisha, the king has sent people. In fact, before they could tell Elijah, he knew already prophetically. He says, see, this son of a murderer has sent men to take off my head. All he did was open his mouth and say, tomorrow, about this time. What made people to kill their children and eat? The solution was in his mouth. The solution was inside his mouth for refusing to say it. Women boil their children. For refusing to manifest the mantle of the prophetic on his life, women ate their children. In other words, the blood of those children could be required in the hand of Elisha. He said, tomorrow, about this time, the window of heaven will open. And under 24 hours, the situation changed. Because the prophet is the number one culprit of the calamities in the land. Not that he's an evil person, just that he failed to manifest the mantle. That was why God said, let the priest weep. For the evil going on now, they must cry. Because the fault is not the fault of the people. They must cry. I want to say again that God has had a problem not with the devil. One Elijah is too much for Ahab. Not with Pharaoh, not with Ahab. God has had problem not with the land. But he has had problem with ministers. This evening we will go to town in it. But this time, I like us to prepare ourselves. And when you are pointing at the devil and pointing at corrupt politicians, four of the fingers point back at you. Especially if you are a pastor, especially if you are a minister of God, they point back like this. And they say, there is something you ought to do you didn't do. That is what has kept our land like this. Oh, how many prophets of God in this nation, in Nigeria, have sat with their mouths closed like Elisha in various cities of the nation, and evil is on rampage. You are not saying anything here this morning. Did Elisha fast? Did he declare night vigil before the story changed? Before every turnaround in any generation, there is a turn aside of a minister. Say that again. Before every turn around in any generation, there is a turn aside of the ministers. Here we read, he said, let them turn. He said, turn your hearts to me. Turn yourself to me. Then when he called Moses, the Bible said, and Moses saw the great sight and said, let me turn and see. And when the Lord saw that he turned, open to it in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, he turned to look. When the Lord saw that he turned. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. Turn aside. Turn aside. And see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. Look at your neighbor, say, turn aside. Say, your generation is waiting for a turnaround. You must turn aside. Hallelujah. What does it mean to turn aside? Interrupt your business as usual. Just interrupt the business as usual. Just give an attention in God's direction that is more than usual. Turn aside. Back where you are coming from and permit God to give you a new direction. When God saw that he turned aside, we cannot do ministry as usual and see the end time move of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it as usual. We cannot do it as usual. Usual order of service. Usual this and usual that. And then see the move of God. A man must come to a point where he is tired of the usual. Now, what was the thing that led Moses in the first place to see the fire? The Bible said he went to the backside of the desert, to the mountain of God. He had already been used to the normal side of the desert. He was tired of the normal side and decided to go to the irregular side of the desert. Those who do usual things see usual results. Anybody who does normal things see normal results. The time has come, and God is calling a pastor here for the unusual, the abnormal. We'll be praying in a moment. But don't forget it, as long as you are alive, to see a turnaround, there must be a turn aside. Am I communicating? One of our friends went to a conference in America. Big conference in a big stadium. Conference finished, people went on break. Right at the entrance of the church, those who were smoking. And those who were, that is international convention, Christian. I don't need to mention the conference because everybody here knows the conference. So that word was powerful, man. On at the gate of the conference center. That is what is the regular thing that is called the move of God. And if we want to see what is different from what we are seeing, the ministers must come to the point where they say we are the reason why it's not working. And God couldn't bypass Elisha to bring food. Hear me now. Every one of us, when we meet God as ministers, we will account to him our contribution to his move in our generation. And don't forget it. Don't forget it. So, beloved brothers and sisters, God is now calling us, all of us. He said, come before me. Come with weeping, not hand in the pocket. Drop your shoulder, not shoulders raised. It's true that everybody carries your bag and refers to you as president and founder and so on. He said, but if you want to see what you haven't seen before, There are two conditions. Number one, you must be sober. And number two, you must surrender. Am I speaking to anybody here? There must be that degree. There must be that soberness. There must be that soberness and that surrender. Lord, I am part of the problem going on in Nigeria as a minister of the gospel. It is possible I failed to do what I'm meant to do. And somebody may say, I'm not a pastor. Well, the Bible says we are all a kingdom of kings and priests unto God. So in that category, you are a priest of God. When God encountered Moses, three things were surrendered. He surrendered the flock by turning his back on them. He surrendered his shoes and he surrendered his rod. Do you remember that? He turned his back on the flock. Whether they are straying away, it doesn't matter now. Whether they are getting lost in the wilderness, it doesn't matter now. Only one thing matters right now, and that is Jehovah God. The surrender of that flock is the surrender of prosperity. The surrender of the shoes is the surrender of dignity. The surrender of the rod is the surrender of authority. So as you are seated here today, if you want God to succeed with you, we must surrender our sense of prosperity, surrender your dignity, and surrender your authority. Is God speaking to anybody here now? You surrender your prosperity, surrender your dignity, and surrender your authority. So don't care who is looking at you. Make up your mind that you didn't come to look at anybody here, and you don't care who looks at you here. If it is necessary to roll on the ground, go ahead. If it is necessary, whatever is necessary, in order for God to break through on your life, so you don't return back home the way you came. And you know, when God asked the categories of Israel that he asked to come, to come with fasting, gave me a revelation as to what he wants us to surrender. He said, let the elders come. Then he said, let the children come. Then he said, let the sucking, the children that are on the breast, sucking children come. Then he said, let the bridegroom, the man who just married, let him come with fasting. Then he said, let the bride, the wife they just married, let her too come out. The elder is experience. The child is ignorance. The sucking baby is innocence. The bridegroom is achievement. I just married. The bride, the one they married, is excitement. I finally got a husband. What is God saying to you? Anybody who comes and carries his experience will not succeed with God. If you want, you must surrender your eldership. You must make up your mind that whatever experience you have ever seen in ministry, you must make up your mind that it doesn't matter now. David said, I am a stranger with you. You surrender your experience. Secondly, you surrender your ignorance. I don't know anything. It's not an excuse. As a matter of fact, you come before God and say, I don't know. I want to be taught. You surrender your innocence, that sense of self-righteousness. That sense of, I don't have a problem. I think I am doing everything that God wants me to do right. Surrender your achievement. I am pastoring 10,000 people. Before God, it means nothing. Because out of that 10,000 people, maybe only 500 are headed for heaven. Or 100. And before him, he meant nothing. Surrender your achievement. And surrender your excitement. We just bought a big land. We just bought this and that. We just achieved that. God is working. God says, surrender it. Of what use is it to buy a land where God has not sent you? And you planted a church where God didn't send you. He says, surrender it. Don't be in a hurry to say everything is working. Relax until you hear from God. Is God speaking to anybody here? Lift up your right hand and say, in Jesus' name, I come before you today, Lord, with an attitude of surrender. I come before you, Lord, to surrender. And as we begin to round up, empty your vessel. Ministers, the summary of it is, come before God empty. Empty your vessel. God works with vessels that are empty. At creation, the earth was empty. Without form and void, vacant and empty. 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 4. He said, pour oil into empty vessels and set aside anyone that is full. in John chapter 2 at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Empty water pots. Pour water into it. Anybody who is full is set aside by God. So there are people who will live here with nothing except they empty themselves. Am I speaking to somebody here? Anytime they are quoting a passage, don't say, I know it already. Because everybody seated here, every single preacher in this world, if he is walking with God, sees something new out of every passage on a continuous basis. Sees something new out of every single passage. So you come empty, empty, knowing fully well that your generation is depending on you. Can somebody say amen? Before we just pray very quickly, let me say this. One of the greatest opportunities on earth is the opportunity of ministry. And one of the most implicating responsibilities on earth is the responsibility of ministry. What I mean is, there are ministers in Ghana who wished they never pastored. And what was it that took them there? The responsibility of pastoring and the implication thereof is heavier than just a single Christian trying to take himself to heaven. Very, very simply, it is easier for one man to take himself and his family to heaven than for the same man to be trying to take himself and maybe 2,000 people along with him. It is more implicating. Now, if you weigh the implications heavy enough, you will understand that if a man is not genuinely called, ministry is not what to play with. If a man is not genuinely called, and God didn't call you to step into ministry, has implicated your destiny. Let me show you three things. Open your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 1. If there is somebody with an amplified version, I would like us to read it. First the King James and then the Amplified. First the King James. Somebody read that for us. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. All right? What do you use to pastor? Words. If any man offend not in words. All right, let's look at the Amplified version. What did he say? My brethren. Amplified. That's still King James. Amplified. Amplified. Not many of you. Not many of you should become teachers. Self-constituted censors and reprovers of others. Go ahead, my brethren. For you know that we teachers, preachers, pastors will be judged by a higher standard and greater severity than other people. Thus, we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. It's frightening. It's frightening. What is allowable that a member did is abominable with a pastor. Heavy fear condemnation. For it is written, for to whom much is given, much shall be required. Some of us, into our hands, have been given a whole land, a whole city, a whole community. That is why this afternoon now, you are going to make up your mind. I come before you in soberness and in surrender, and I take responsibility for my generation. I take responsibility for this city. I take responsibility for this nation. And I am crying and I am demanding, oh God, for the former and the latter. I assume responsibility. Are you ready for that? Stand up on your feet. Every church member here, pray for your pastor. Hello? And every pastor here, teach your people to pray for you. I read the book of Mary Baxter, A Divine Revelation of Hell. Jesus led her on a tour of hell, and there they met a pastor who was roasting in a very terrible part of hell, with about 12 angels tormenting him, 12 demons tormenting him for ever preaching the gospel and still appearing in hell. Jesus said to him, this man was fervent, but he was lured away into the world. Issues of money and several issues. He says some of the people he led to Christ are still in the Lord. Here he is, in pits of hell. We are going to pray at this moment. Almighty God, I come before you in soberness. First and foremost, I empty my experience. Open your mouth and speak to God. I empty myself of every experience I could boast of. In the name of Jesus, I'd like you to know that why we came is to encounter the move of God. what we are doing are prerequisites. We are not going to jump and say, let the rain fall. Before the rain will fall, he said, let the ministers weep. Let them surrender many things. You are going to speak to God, and you may not necessarily need to wait. Anything for which I could boast, Lord, every achievement, every excitement, every trace of glory in my life and ministry, everything people are praising me about, anything at all that I'm praising myself about, everything that is my dignity, I surrender. I surrender my pride. I surrender everything I consider my authority. I surrender to you today. Open your mouth and speak to God.
Every hour I need you, oh bless me now, oh to thee, I need you. I need you.